Do you believe in click it or tick it?
Hello and welcome once again to Click It or Ticket.
Thanks for coming back, folks. I'm surprised you're still here.
Yes, indeed. I'm Pete Mutino.
Glenn Marshall.
And I'm Nick Schaefer.
Decided to start it off with a little self-deprecating humor. And usually I save it for later in the podcast.
It's a good kickoff.
I love this Queens of the Stone Age song. I still think that someone challenged Josh Homme to write a song based around his alarm clock sound.
And he succeeded.
Yeah, and he did a great job.
He has three alarm clocks.
He's already done it with the busy signal sound on the phone with the long slogan. Goodbye.
Yeah, that's true. He loves tonal noises.
And then, great. But then who doesn't?
Yeah, that's true. Here, click it or ticket.
You too, I guess. Bono, not a fan of the tonal sounds.
Not a fan of click it or ticket either. From
we
what
need
I
to
hear.
Get a yeah drop from Bono.
Yeah.
Catorze.
Catorze would be nice too.
14.
No, because we talk about that number
a
lot.
Wherever the fuck Bono comes from.
Legal age for consent in Hawaii. Is
Hawaii, 14.
Yeah, which fucking...
But they invented the age of consent. That's why it's the youngest.
Oh, man. You have to listen to every episode to get these jokes. That's a little obscure even for me, and we recorded that like 4 days ago.
Yeah, but Pete and I are still fucking heated in that. We had that argument all the way home on the phone.
Oh, really? You guys, like, called
it? Not at all, but I really wish we had that much fucking, like, heat just for that shit.
And then you guys watched Heat and then argued that it was filmed in Hawaii.
Argue that they invented the plot for that movie.
They invented banks and robbing them.
And documenting it on film and then fictionalizing it
on
film.
That story was lifted from an old Hawaiian tale.
What do you guys think is the best heist movie ever?
Heist?
Ooh, I like Reservoir Dogs.
Really?
I guess, but that's kind of a post-heist.
Yeah, well, so actually, with a heist in it?
With a heist in it, that's pre- and post-heist. And don't get me wrong, love Reservoir Dogs.
Is The Dark Knight included in the heist category?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah. There I go. On my own. Here I go.
But it's not really a heist movie.
There's only one heist.
He steals $1 billion and lights it on fire.
After I saw that movie, I was like, wow, Heath Ledger was awesome. I was like, those heists were great. You know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I would give the...
I love the generic thug voices at the beginning of that.
Oh, yeah. He's not getting up.
Yeah. Like, all the guys in the clown masks. It's like, why do you think they call him the Joker? Yeah. It's like, he wears masks. Like, makeup. Like, war paint.
Funny. He said something similar to me.
Like, so generic.
All right.
But
so
I would argue it's not a heist movie based on the premise that he didn't want the money. He was. It clearly becomes more than that.
Like, well, in a fucking The Italian Job, it's not really about the money at the end because they kill Donald Sutherland, who's Charlize Theron's mom.
Ocean's 12.
That's your favorite movie ever, though. Yeah, you can't pick movies out of your top five of all time.
You just can't answer that for everything. I asked you what's your favorite, sword and sandal epic. You said Ocean's 12. I asked you what your favorite Pixar animated 3D film was. You said Ocean's 12.
Pixar did.
3D.
Which I'm
I asked you what your favorite Steven Spielberg movie was, and you said E.T. So.
No, I thought he said AI.
Alan Iverson, the movie.
All right. No, now I really need to think of a fucking heist movie. Oh, that's awful.
Because it can't be Heat.
Have you guys ever seen Confidence?
No.
That's a good movie. I think that might be mine.
Inside Man? I didn't see that.
Inside Man was really good.
Was it really good?
Yeah. You could not tell it was a Spike Lee movie at all. Much like The 25th Hour. Like, he's not... He'll use one of his, like cliche shots that he's used in all 30 of his movies.
Rodney King beating.
No, it's like we're like the guy, it's like, wow, I have like a lot of shit to think about. So it's me standing on like a cart and someone pulling me. So it looks like the background's moving, but I'm not, that whole thing.
Yeah.
I think he used that shot when Edward Norton's walking in The 25th Hour, but there's nothing that indicates that it's a Spike Lee movie. He doesn't even put himself in his movies
But now
anymore.
Spike Lee's doing a Kobe doing work.
Really?
Yeah, I saw that.
It's a movie about Kobe Bryant. And, finally.
Yeah, I know, right? So it's him raping bitches for, a full hour and a half?
I think getting acquitted.
It's a romantic comedy.
It isn't Kobe having fun. It's Kobe doing work, okay?
So is it just him playing basketball for an hour and a half?
No, that's fun, too.
Oh, okay.
So it's like...
What does he consider work? Like, is it him, digging ditches for...
It's him meeting with, his accountant once a year to be like, do I still have billions of dollars? Like, well, yes, Kobe. He's like, thank God. That's the whole movie.
I actually saw some clips from it. It looks all right.
Really? Yeah. It's probably interesting. I don't...
Probably not as interesting as that fucking Tyson movie, which I'm dying to see. Have any of you guys seen that? The documentary.
Speaking
about
of tattoo.
Yeah, no. Face. Speaking of face tattoo. Yeah, no, I mean, apparently, I mean, I heard his interview on the Adam Carolla podcast, which was actually done during the premiere of the movie, because Tyson, like, really can't take people's, like congratulations and all that shit. He doesn't feel like he deserves anything because he was, like, an animal for so long.
I feel so bad for that guy, because
he's so humbled now, but he's so broke, and then his, oh, yeah.
Like, well, you could just tell he was just a massive talent. Kid was 18, 19 when Don King, like, scooped him up in his talent.
Decided to exploit the shit out of him.
Yeah, and everybody's like, oh, look, he, you know, obviously he raped someone, which is not good. And obviously he did a lot of horrible screwed up things. He did a lot of horrible screwed up things. But I just, you know, when people, I think he's excused by circumstances, is what I'm saying. I think he's sort of a victim as well.
There's a great Mike Tyson quote where someone's like, no, he's like, they call me a rapist and a recluse. I am not a recluse.
he's very open about his.
So articulate.
It was funny though too when one of his later when he was washed up, but he was still doing a fight every 6 months to buy himself a new tiger or whatever it is he spends money on, and they were having a press conference, and the manager of it was a big Irish fighter who wound up beating Tyson. But in the press conference, it was like saying, he's like, you know, I really respect Mike Tyson. He's had a phenomenal career. He's one of the all-time greats, but I'm going to give it my best shot. And Mike Tyson's like, you are killing your fighter. I will gut him like a fish. He's like interrupting. He's like, you know, I respect your opinion, Michael. You're a legend. I just think if I try real hard, I have a chance at this fight. He's like, I will feed you your own genitals.
In 2 seconds, my balls are going to be on your chin.
Paul Chinny.
Paul Chinny.
Why is his voice so high?
For such a huge, ripped guy, maybe... Maybe
he's like a genius, and this is all just his whole life is just an elaborate joke on everyone.
That, or he's been compensating for his voice all the time, so he has to like fight people and beat the hell out of them. But now he's really humbled, and his daughter just died. That was fucking awful.
Oh, yeah. What? Like, she got caught in a treadmill?
No, she actually got strangled by the cord of it somehow.
That's really strange.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. I think she was like four years old.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's awful.
Well, no, and I mean, it's...
And the repo guys took his Siberian tigers away.
No, his tigers have been gone for ages, man. Yeah. He sold his huge house in Farmington, Connecticut to 50 Cent. For like, he paid like 28 or something million dollars for it, and 50's like...
That's so sad.
I'm gonna give you like $10.
Because you know, for like 50 cents.
I'll give you 50 cents. Yeah.
I understand being a celebrity and wanting to like own the house of your badass comparable predecessor. Like Ian McKellen wants to have like all of Laurence Olivier's old stuff or whatever.
Oh, I thought he was
going to
say a house built out of penises.
Well, he's working on that. But
it goes up that quickly, the entire house.
What a masterstroke.
Wrecked on three, he says. He stresses Gandalf.
The house is
or Magneto, either one works.
The house is three stories in the morning, but in winter it's only a basement. But the fact that 50 Cent could buy it directly from Mike Tyson while Mike Tyson's still alive is just really depressing.
Pretty sad.
He's like, oh, dog, look, I bought Mike Tyson's house. Now he's on the street.
Yeah.
Now him and MC Hammer live in an apartment together.
Oh, man, that would be a great sitcom.
MC Hammer does have a reality show.
Yeah, I know. We'll be pitching this sitcom to NBC.
Now,
is
he a reverend or a janitor? Because I know he was both, but I'm not sure what he's doing now.
I have no idea.
I feel like you'd probably end up with reverend, but...
Yeah, that's true. That's the end game. No, but Tyson, the worst part is, like, his last fight, he's like, look, like, I don't have it in me anymore. I'm not, like, a ruthless killing machine. I'm not 19. I'm not out of my mind. I'm doing this fight literally so I can take the paycheck and turn that into food for my family and keep a roof over my head. And then his fucking kid dies like 8 months later.
Yeah, didn't even need the money after all.
I know, exactly. One less mouth to feed. I think that was the treadmill's plan.
Oh, God. I mean, the treadmill was trying to help, but...
I know.
Jeez, treadmill.
Just didn't know
so misguided. The treadmill is much like early Tyson.
Unlimited power, but what to do with it?
Jesus. I need to silence
speaking
my phone.
Speaking of one of my favorite incredible athlete stories, you guys remember Bo Jackson?
Yes.
Oh, of course.
He was like the best baseball player and football player for about 2 years before he had his hip replaced. When he was 8 years old, he would get in trouble in his neighborhood for beating up 14-year-olds.
Oh, that's sweet.
He was that strong. And there was one time where some kids were upset with him. They were playing a game and they got into a fight, probably about the rules or something. And Bo Jackson took their ball and, you know... You know when you take the ball in anger and like throw it away? It's like, you guys aren't going to play because I'm throwing the ball away sort of thing. He did that, but it went like three blocks away and they never found it.
This is your fucking wake-up call, man.
He was just way too strong.
Now threw it over to the fence, and the beast ate it, and then James Earl Jones wasn't having it.
Yeah, and then he said, if you build it, they will come.
Yeah.
Remember that whole thing?
If you build baseball it. Movies all blur together for us here.
Well, they all have Kevin Costner in them, so...
And oh, yeah, he was in that other baseball movie that came out in the late 90s, maybe early 2000s. It was
awful. It was called, like, The Fastball or something.
Yeah, it was called Forgettable.
Oh, that was bad news.
Inside heat.
How does he keep getting work?
I don't know. I think it's, especially internationally, he's just a recognizable American name.
Here's the other thing. Factoid I read on IMDb, so who knows if it's 100% true, but apparently it's something like... 70% of the roles Harrison Ford has ever turned down have gone to Costner.
But that's so weird because Harrison Ford's very expressive and has lots of, I don't want to say range because he plays similar types of, but he has a wide vocal range.
Yeah, but
and Kevin Costner has the weirdest soulless monotone of anybody on the planet.
And apparently he's like not that cool. Oh my God, I thought I just
I said turn off your cell phone like an hour ago.
I'm turning it off as we speak.
It just took three phone calls in the show to do it.
I thought I put it on silence. I didn't, though, I guess.
I'm sick again out loud. You have to take one on the air. You have to put it on speakerphone.
All right. Like teachers used to do in school.
Yeah.
Oh, that was awesome. I miss that.
Wait, with cell phones?
Oh, in high school? Yeah. You never had a teacher who would do that?
No. Nope.
Oh.
I didn't know cell phones existed until about 4 years ago.
I didn't get a cell phone until the end of my junior year because my parents were like, well, you're gone all the time and we don't know where you are. I'm like... Yeah, sorry. They're like, why don't you call? It's like, with what? Like a ham radio? Like, fuck you guys.
Remember when Radio Shack tried peddling those like
beepers?
Those like 10-mile walkie-talkies or whatever it was? And that was about 2 months before cell phones became really commercially viable.
Yeah, no, so the cell phone thing in class, we've talked about Mr. Burt before.
How is Radio Shack still in business?
I don't know. What do they sell?
Batteries
and wires. Anyway, sorry.
Mr. Burt would, it was always a girl usually. If their phone rang during class, he would just grab it. They'd like poke it up and fumble.
Oh, yeah.
He'd just snatch it out of their hand and be like, hello? Yeah, no, your daughter's in class right now. Don't you think it's a little odd that you would just call her during school hours? Why don't you wait for her to call you? You know? It's a little ridiculous.
Yeah, she's trying to learn about history.
Or it'd be like another one of her girlfriends and he would like do like a silly voice and like talk to her. Yeah, it was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Really embarrassing for whoever was calling.
The highlight of my life really was that class.
It'd be so funny if you heard the other end and it was like, I have your brother.
And he's like, whoa, 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 whoa.
He's like, don't you think it's a bad time in history classes? Leave $500,000 in the oak tree if you wish to see her alive.
Midnight behind the box. I'll be the hyena. You'll see.
Exactly.
Oh, you guys are enfilading this podcast with inside jokes.
I know.
Yeah, that wasn't at the drive-in drug. We need more Mars Volta jokes. More Mars Volta jokes.
Oh, also, going back about 5 minutes, athletic badassery. This is a new thing I was reading this afternoon. Albert Pujols, who's better than everyone at everything, and we're coming to regards to baseball.
Even with his, he's fought through the debilitating last name.
All right. Well, I heard this on the radio. He by himself has hit more home runs than the entire Mets starting lineup so far this year. But he also hit. He was 4 for 5 yesterday with 2 home runs and a grand slam. That grand slam, though, supposedly he's 4 for 5 with the bases loaded with 4 grand slams so far this year.
Jesus Christ.
He's bored with hitting grand slams just on their own. He called this one. He called where he was going to put it. He said he was playing at the Royals. The Royals are building like a Royals Hall of Fame in their outfield. And so Pujols said to the assistant coach, he's like, I'm going to hit this ball into the like Royals Hall of Fame. And he did. He hit it right off of the building.
Did you see the other night he like destroyed one of the letters on one of the signs? I can't remember what stadium.
Oh, that was, a couple weeks ago. It was the Big Mac sign.
He knocked out the eye at
home.
It's getting to the point where it might actually be better to intentionally walk him with the bases loaded. With the bases loaded.
Yeah, I know, right?
It makes more sense.
Walking around.
Yeah, it does.
It's really silly.
That sucks.
Sorry, I could yammer on about baseball forever. I actually think that's amusing to the general public.
Nick is threatening us with a baseball bat right now. It's true.
I am menacing you guys with it. So
send help.
I thought that was interesting that someone could be.
I know you guys won't hear this for a few days, but dear God, please help us.
But you know, because we can't go more than 5 minutes without talking about potty humor.
Oh, potty humor.
Public toilets.
Oh God.
We were talking about that briefly earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we talked about Jankum, which is a form of public toilet.
But Nick went to Amsterdam, which, as you all know, is a crazy place, well renowned for its toilets.
I'd say if Bruges were taken over by Hot Topic and a bunch of stoners, that's what Amsterdam is. And but their public toilets
actually, it's a very, very intelligently built city. So that wouldn't even equate to Bruges.
Yeah, Bruges still has the medieval layout.
Yeah, but Amsterdam has a lot of that too.
They like single-handedly invented.
You can still see the hooks where you can still see the hooks where shipping from.
Oh yeah.
Anyway, the public toilets aren't like a room with a door or anything like that. It's just like a curly queue. Like you walk in, it's this little metal chamber. It's like this, and it's mesh. Like there are holes in it, and you just walk in around like a corner. Inside of it, it's like a circular little.
It's like a snail's shell.
Yeah, exactly. I was trying to think of an analogy, and that's a good one. You just walk into it, and then you just pee onto like a drain, and that's.
And there's a bunch of dudes looking at you.
Pretty much.
Have you ever been to a ballpark where it's just like a trough, but it's like a circle, and you have to like try not to make eye contact with the dude across from
you?
No, you've never. Oh,
no.
I think it was. I can't remember what stadium I was at.
Fenway Park.
Yeah, it was
Fenway Park?
Yeah,
has
yeah,
those.
Yeah. Then that's what it
you
was.
You have to like. You're just peeing.
You have to wait for like something fucking interesting to happen in the game so you can scurry to the bathroom if you're nervous about people staring at your dick. Or if you want to look at a lot of penises, wait for like the eighth inning.
I remember when I was in France, I mean, this was years ago. In fact, they're still using francs. It was a public bathroom that you had to pay 7 francs to get into.
Oh, yeah.
The thing was just, it looked like a gas chamber. It was just a tile thing with a hole in the middle.
Oh, a Turkish toilet?
Yeah, and essentially you just poop or pee wherever you damn well please. The French kept very consistent. People used to just shit in the corners of Versailles, and now you can do that whenever you want.
Yeah, but
shit
you have to pay
anywhere.
For it.
And then you close the door, and you just hear it flushing.
Once again, only the super rich can pee wherever they please.
All right, can we talk real quickly about public bathroom etiquette? All right.
You peed on my foot.
I've done that too.
Directly. Before. Deliberately. Well, you're going to tell us about etiquette?
You were wearing sand. Well, I derive a lot of my humor just to amuse myself from the bathroom.
I was at a urinal at the Turner Field, and Glenn went into the stall next to it and just started giggling, and then all of a sudden, I feel pee directly onto my foot.
You were wearing sandals. You were asking for
And I had to put my I was cracking up, too, because...
Yeah, but you didn't know it was me.
No.
That was the funniest part.
I didn't start laughing until I realized who it was, and then I was like, oh, god damn it.
I see Nick. His foot is up in the bathroom, like the sink there, and he's like, what the fuck, man? He's just like laughing, and I come out like cackling. He's like, oh, it was like some stranger just pissed all over my foot.
Yeah, it was actually a relief because it's like I knew where the pee came from this time. It could have been way
dude,
worse.
Dude, it's sterile either way.
I've been hit by the same maneuver.
Oh, Glenn pulled that
and
on
it's
you?
It's never at home. It's only when we're traveling. It was in Disney World.
That's what you get for wearing sandals, guys.
I wasn't even wearing sandals.
Oh, you got me back, though. You pissed all over me.
Yeah, look, he got my feet. He got my legs. I was wearing shorts. Glenn was wearing khakis, though, and I was still peeing. So we made a critical error because I soaked his entire pant leg. And with the humid Florida weather, it didn't go away.
Oh no, it didn't.
That's fantastic.
So I just wanted to bring up quickly, and our listeners, this is similar to my driving discussions. Assuming there are 5 urinal stalls, like the 5 with the little dividers. Mm-hmm. And
if you're lucky.
Some don't
have dividers.
I don't get the no divider thing. The blowback from other people's piss is reason enough.
No, Glenn, because it costs at least $10 to get just like worthless sheets of metal and a screw.
All right, so if you are the first person to arrive at these 5 urinals, you go to one of the ends. And then the next person there should either go to the other end or the middle one with a buffer zone in between.
You need a buffer toilet.
But what I really like to do is to go to public bathrooms, and I have a few lines, and I've definitely shared these with you guys before, but I want to share it with the listeners. You saddle up right next to someone, and you make sure your foot is, like, touching theirs. And there's a few lines you can say. Like, my favorite one, I think, is, you call that a dick? Also, there's stop looking at my dick as you stare at their dick and then scream running out of the bathroom. Yeah, there's a few. I don't know if you guys have any other ones, but that's my
especially
favorite.
When there's 5 and they're at one of the ends and then you walk up
right next
to them.
Oh, yeah. My friend Corey, he was like smitten with this. He thought it was like the funniest thing. He was living in California for the summer and he was at a public bathroom, like a rest stop. And there was like this, I don't know, like pretty attractive dude, and he sallies up next to him, and he does. He's like, "You call that a dick?" And the dude just like looks at him and just starts like, because Corey's laughing, he just starts like cracking up. They shared a big laugh, and they ended up like going out to the bar later with this guy.
Wow!
Because it's like that's a great way to meet cool dude friends. If they think that's funny,
it's also
that's
if you're
test.
Below the Mason-Dixon line, it's a great way to get dragged to death behind a pickup truck.
Yeah, but
I exclusively aim for the buffer stall in the middle because you do the whole maneuver where you just like stare straight ahead, but you have 2 guys on the side of you and you know they're both checking out your dick.
Yeah,
it's really just a self-esteem boost waiting to happen. Thank you, public toilets.
But there was, I had a weird thing the other, you and I were trying to figure this out, Pete, because there was a bathroom at a bar we were at where it was like a single bathroom. There was one sink, you know, one hand dryer thing, and there was one toilet, but there's one toilet and one urinal.
Yeah.
And so when you went in first and you were like, we were trying to figure out if I should go in with you or if that'd be weird or if I should wait. And I wound up waiting. But then later I went in and someone just came in while I was at
the
urinal.
Same here. Well, actually what happened with me earlier, because I was the one saying, let's just go in together. And you were like, no, that's like weird.
I didn't know that there were two in there at first, but then.
Well, I went in there and I knocked on the door and then I opened it and there was some guy peeing at the urinal. I was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry, dude. And he's like, no, come on in. And I also did not notice there was a second toilet there.
Oh, so first you just
like, I'm drunk, but I'm not that drunk.
He just needed moral support.
Come on in, man.
Yeah, hold my hand while I pee.
It's really fun in here.
Oh, aim for me. You want to be my bombardier?
No, dude. If we time it right, I can switch out right as I stop peeing, and you can pee, and then we can go green by saving water. Go green.
Go green, go pee.
Oh, yeah. Oh, another thing. I have a fucking beef with the stalls in bathrooms. I always feel like there isn't a set rate of how much gap there is.
Yeah, I know.
Like in the door. So like just some dude could definitely check me out, like sheepishly holding like my hand over my dick and like looking out to see if there's any eyes looking in while I'm taking a shit.
Yeah, it's people like me always peering
in. I know. Yeah, you walking by getting a little too frisky with the looks. You know, you can definitely see if you walk down the line of stalls, you can look in and get a good glimpse of everyone shitting.
The way like the hinge kind of works, I feel like... And for most stalls, it's almost like an aero-slit window for the people on the outside.
Yeah, is it a glory hole? Like, what's going
on?
They
can see more.
That it's occupied.
And you can see out. Yeah.
You just see, like, that little eye, like, looking at you.
Or a shadow.
It's like those holes in the castles they had for shooting arrows.
That's right, I said the aero-slit window.
Aero-slit window. But, I thought you said aerosmith window. And I was pretty confused.
One of the many behaviors Pete shares with senators is doing a little peek in the stall there.
Mark Foley was right. Bathrooms fucking rock.
Why did that guy get fired?
Why
did that senator get fired? Like,
he's like, being gay is like a sin, and like all fags should be killed.
How is that?
Or dragged behind said pickup truck.
Being a hypocrite isn't illegal, though.
Yeah, I think he resigned. I don't think he was fired. Oh, no. Mark Foley was the dude who also...
Senator Craig was the name of that guy.
He was, Senator Craig. Mark Foley was the dude who was, he had underage pages.
Oh, yeah, he was sending...
Pages, like interns, basically.
He was having cyber sex with his 15-year-old assistant.
I don't even think it was cyber sex. It was like, I'm so fucking horny for you right now. And the kid was like, sir.
Like, please don't fire me.
Do you need any more staples in your stapler, or can I freshen up your coffee? And he's like, oh, yeah. Like,
it's like I was thinking about taking Wednesday off. It's like, that's not the only thing you're taking off.
He actually asked him. I do remember that because he had it on The Daily Show. He asked him, he's like, so what kind of underwear you got on? He's like, tell me. I won't tell anyone else, and I won't fire you. And he's like, boxers. He's like, that's hot. And they always, my favorite part is when they read the transcripts of perverts online on the news, because they always just have someone reading it as sterile as possible in the same voice. And it was just like, so what kind of underwear you got on? Don't worry, I won't tell. Boxers, I guess. Oh, yeah, that's hot. And it's like, and then the news anchor will come back and it's like, Senator Craig was investigated for
Mark Foley.
Yeah, whatever it
was. He was right. Talking to pages about their boxers is really hot. It's true. No, the kid was 16, I think. But
makes it okay.
Yeah, I know.
Glenn?
Well, I mean, sort of. But they had uncovered
consent.
They had uncovered a bunch of other pages who had they'd gone through their whole page process. I think it's just like a summer type gig or something. It's kind of like interning. That he had been doing this for like a really long time and been trying to bone like every single page who came through there. But no one would put out. Was this dude? I don't know what he looks like. Is he like cripplingly ugly?
I don't know. I've just only heard the stories. I haven't seen any pictures of him or any.
I don't understand the people who commit crimes the exact same way or do something like that and just don't see the problem with it. It's like, I'm going to molest every single page that comes through here
and seriously.
No one will ever know.
Or try and fail to molest every. Don't you think you'd screen them a little better?
People, especially on the e-harassment type thing, aren't very creative, especially on, like, To Catch a Predator and stuff. Unless if you see it, it's always just like, that's hot. I'm getting off. Ooh, baby. Like, you think they like come with something a bit more original.
Yeah, if I ever walk in my house and I hear, come in, I have sweet tea and milk and cookies for you. I'm going to, even if it's my own house, I'm going to fucking run away. Because that show, I love To Catch a Predator.
Also,
is that show still on?
Also, shouldn't those kids
It is? Oh, God, that show is good.
Don't perverts prefer like... I don't know. Don't they prefer like Bush Light and stuff? Do they really want like sweet tea and cookies?
Yeah, I don't know. But like those dudes, it seems like they'll drive to the ends of the fucking earth to bang underage kids. It's like, yeah, I just drove like 1,600 miles from Wyoming to try to get some ass. Couldn't you have just gotten a prostitute like in your area and spent like a 16th of the amount of money for a really good prostitute?
Yeah,
even?
But some people,
that's what he looks like?
We have a visual.
No, I wanted Mark Foley. Yeah, we'll be posting these pictures up on the website for visual aids.
Giving thumbs up, hopefully.
Yeah, give me Mark Foley, too. I want to know if he's
give
really
me
unattractive.
Sugar and water.
That's what he asked the page.
That's what he asked him before he molested him. That was his regular routine.
Wow, that's Vincent D'Onofrio speaking Arabic.
He's a very versatile actor.
Oh, very talented.
That was from that movie The Kingdom, right? He played a terrorist.
No, he played the king with leprosy.
Oh, no, that was Kingdom of Heaven.
Oh, my bad.
The best movie ever made.
He actually played Jimmy Fox.
He's such a good actor. Was he wearing an Edgar
and
suit
singer,
or a Jimmy Fox
suit? Jimmy Fox suit.
He was wearing a Jimmy Fox. Oh, can we get your fat ass in here?
Get your big
get
butt
your
back.
Big butt back in the house.
I love the really sinister brass behind that. If we could
he
hear that again.
He kind of looks like you, Ryan. He does, man.
Wait, who?
Mark Foley.
Oh, Mark Foley. There he is.
Mark Foley.
He looks a lot like Ryan. He has the ear, the same ears, the same,
if you're
same
not,
eyes.
We will post these pictures on the website, but for a visual, just for me to describe it to you, it kind of looks like Peter Graves. From Airplane and Mission Impossible, the television show, mixed with Leslie Nielsen. He looks like a very comical figure.
And like a thyroid disorder.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. So, I mean, any of you pages who are interested in having e-sex with us, you can
any of you pages who were molested by Mark Foley, feel free to contact the show and we'll interview you
that
gladly.
That would be the best coincidence ever if we get like a horrible email, someone's really offended.
We're also looking for interns to molest.
Exactly.
Yeah, Christian's getting a little old, so... No,
literally,
Christian,
don't get sad, Christian.
You did well. It's
you
just,
did
you know,
did your time.
You can't help aging.
Yeah, I know. I mean, believe me, if we could turn back the hands of time, my hands would be all over you. But now, you're just like I said, you're a little too old for me.
No.
So speaking of hats.
No. Not like this.
Pete, I was just thinking about this because I'm wearing my Home Depot hat. Because I love.
I was gonna say, is that a NASCAR hat?
It's supposed to be a Tony Stewart hat, but being that it's NASCAR, everything is conveyed through sponsorship deals, and so it's a Home Depot hat. I got this in North Florida, and I thought it was hysterical. So I'm a big fan of Home Depot.
Big fan of NASCAR.
But the brim is bent, and I think I know. And I also just bought a
not flat.
I also bought a Toronto Blue Jays hat a couple weeks ago. And that brim is really flat, like thugged out, and I can't...
Like our level should be?
Yeah, but it won't bend. I can't get it to hold a bend. But this one came, this Home Depot hat came bent, and I think that's because of the demographic. I think that they're selling NASCAR hats to people who want to bend their brims versus, you know, a Times Square Lids shop is trying to keep flat brims. And Pete, you had a funny story about Modell's.
I wanted to buy an on-field Yankees calf because I am a Yankees fan. And I went into the store and there were a lot of guys who were all about, you know, the whole look nowadays with the flat brim.
Leave all the stickers
on. Leave all the stickers on, keep it fresh. So I go in there and I was like, I think I'll get like a 7.5. And I try it on and I was like, all right, let me try like an 8. And I put it on. 8 was a little too big. And I was like, all right, let me just go back to the 7.5. And he was like, 7.5, how are you going to fit stuff under there? And I was like, what? He's like,
like
yeah.
A Dutch?
No, and then he goes, what are you going to put in there? I was like, my head?
How are you going to fit a do-rag under that?
But so basically, I go in, and he's like really confused. And I go in there, and I make my purchase, and it has the big sticker, you know, on the brim.
Yeah, the sticker's getting bigger, I think, because MLB figured out real quick that what people want their hats for.
Freshness.
Yeah.
So I see the sticker, and I immediately peel it off. And all the guys behind the counter go, oh! We're putting their hands over their mouths.
Oh, shit.
Like, they're freaking out. And then as I'm walking out, I decided to give them one last thrill, and I curved the brim really hard. And I was like, thanks, fellas. They were like, oh, ho, ho, ho. He's wearing like a normal hat.
The other day. I'm sorry for interrupting you, but the other day I saw someone with the sticker on their hat, but it was clearly an older hat, and they had tape. To hold the sticker on.
Oh, my God.
Not fresh.
I've actually seen stickers where the sticker's on there, but all the ink has worn off.
Oh, wow. Fresh sticker.
So fresh.
I also love the hats that have the logo of every team.
Yeah, what is that? I'm a fan of the sport.
Yeah, whoever they're rooting for, they're rooting for the winning team. I'll tell you that much.
So that's a Fairweather fan hat?
The ultimate Fairweather hat.
I think the ultimate Fairweather hat would be get one of the ump hats.
Well,
I've been thinking about getting that. It's just like, yeah, I'm a fan of the umpires.
I have a California
Dude,
Collegiate League umpire hat.
They should sell umpire hats.
I think they should, too. I would buy one.
Yeah, and then he could look like Christopher Lloyd from Angels in the Outfield.
But I want to buy, yeah, they have the names on the back. I'm pretty sure umpires have numbers, too, don't they?
Yeah.
Because support your favorite umpire.
Pete, 8 years ago, I would have said, though, that Yankee hat you bought was the ultimate Fairweather fan. Because that's always the winning team.
Yeah, but now
just one final point I'd like to make. My favorite umpire is Randy Marsh. because he shares the name with my favorite South Park character. And he's terrible.
Is he?
Oh, he's so bad. His Drake's
is he a Plato? Oh, okay.
Anyway.
Well, they all rotate.
Well, is he that dude who Johnny Damon got really mad at?
Johnny Damon hates all, except his podcast.
I miss John Hirschbeck because Roberto Alomar spat in his face.
Oh, God. What a champ that dude was. Did you see that cloud of spit?
Oh, it
looked like a fucking cumulonimbus cloud.
Well, thank you for listening to our cloud of spit because we're at time here. So thank you for listening, everybody. We'll see you next time.